The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, May 29th. Today, we're talking about psychedelic drugs and their potential use as medicine. A new study looked at whether small doses of MDMA, better known by street names like ecstasy and Molly, can help treat post-traumatic stress disorder. And PTSD is a big issue here in the United States, especially among our armed forces. So on this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember and honor fallen service members, we also wanted to learn more about this potential yet unconventional treatment for the troops who did make it home and still suffer from PTSD. Some researchers are calling prescription psychedelics paired with professional talk therapy the breakthrough they've been waiting for. We got fascinating insights about the latest study from its lead scientist, Dr. Jennifer Mitchell. She's a neurology professor at UC San Francisco. But first, we'll hear directly from one Marine veteran who took part in the study. Scott Ostrom says he struggled with PTSD for more than a decade after coming home from Iraq. And for him, three MDMA treatments did what other treatments couldn't. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today on The Newsworthy.
Pleasure to be here.
Your struggle with PTSD began after your second deployment to Iraq. So could you explain for our listeners how this condition impacted your daily life?
I used to have nightmares every single night where I would get lost or separated from my team. My weapon would malfunction, or the bullets would just dribble out of the end. Or if I got cornered by the enemy in search of my team, trying to fight them off physically, like my punches wouldn't land. Every morning that I would wake up, or middle of the night that I would wake up, my body felt like it was in a fight. So I had that sense of immediate danger when I started every single one of my days. And hypervigilance was definitely a symptom that I had. I was extra careful and extra cautious, and my head was always on a swivel, looking for a way to keep myself safe.
So like just high adrenaline all the time, it sounds like.
Yeah, my adrenaline was high all the time. I was constantly looking for a fight, because that's my reaction to that was what would keep me alive. My interpersonal relationship struggled, not just because of who I was and the things that I was going through and how difficult I really could be, but also the people that I sought out were complementing my struggles with PTSD, codependent relationships. And really, I wanted that turmoil, and I felt like I needed that turmoil so that I could feel like I was doing my job, which was staying alive.
You participated in the study that analyzed whether psychedelic drug therapy could help patients suffering from PTSD and other traumas. But before I get to that, I want to ask you first, what did doctors try to do for you before all this? Did anything help?
Before I did the MDMA study, I tried lots of different things to help myself with PTSD. Some of the things were pretty common, like you might expect, just regular psychotherapy, medication, lots of different types of medication. And then a couple things that really helped me, like recreational therapy with other veterans, like Team Semper Fi is an organization that takes wounded Marines from Iraq and Afghanistan and puts them together. And we do fun outdoor sporting events. And that was a great time to feel that sense of camaraderie and just catch up and be able to be with your people, someone that you can relate to and speak the same language with. It's not that like the classic approaches to treating PTSD didn't work at all, but it was a long and arduous road of like dragging things up and then trying to remember where you left off the week before, the nightmares and my propensity to violence and aggression. Those things never got addressed, and there wasn't enough time. I tried for 13 years.
How was the MDMA study different then? But can you tell us what the session was like?
The MDMA session itself doesn't really start or can't start until we as a team, meaning me and the two clinicians who are with me during the MDMA session, it can't really start until you spend a decent amount of time getting to know each other and developing that trust and that understanding. And then also setting your intention for, you know, what's going to happen during your MDMA session and then the following MDMA sessions. You know, what sort of things are we going to talk about? The psychotherapy part is just as important as the MDMA. When you take the medicine, you're in a nice, comfortable twin-size bed. In my case, I had my service dog, Tim, with me because I had all the love, essentially. And about 30 or 45 minutes, you know that you like got the medicine and it's actually working. And so they suggest that you put eye shades and headphones on with curated music. That's when you start to go inward. When you first feel that wave of the medicine with the eye shades and headphones on, it starts to open you up to yourself. The medicine guides the psychotherapy, and then the psychotherapist guide the medicine in you.
It sounds like it's easier to access those memories, access those experiences with the MDMA than it was without.
Absolutely. When the medicine starts to work, you have this incredible feeling of vulnerability, but you're so grateful that you're able to be vulnerable, and you have this overwhelming feeling of wanting to connect with yourself and whoever's with you, but in like a careful and measured way. And then you also open yourself up to anything that's possible, but you still have your filter and you know what's true and what isn't true. It's very lucid. And any of those tiny little aches or pains that you have just living, sprained your ankle last week or slept funny on your neck, all of those things sort of melt away. And because you're not focused on your body in any sort of negative way, you're able to like really just sit in that moment and be comfortable in that present moment.
So it's almost like your inhibitions were away, but not so much that you couldn't control yourself and understand. You still understood what was going on.
Only the bad inhibitions were away, right? Like that voice inside you that tells you like, oh, no, now is not the time to talk about this. I'm not ready for that. Which essentially is the voice that's telling you, I'm not ready to change, not having the inhibitions that hold you up from getting better. Because oftentimes, like when you have trauma and when you have made up your story about your trauma, that becomes you as a person. That becomes like what you tell yourself on the inside and nobody else all day, every day. Because that oftentimes surviving that trauma, that story is the one that keeps you alive. So letting go of that story and being a blank slate with this overwhelming sense of gratitude and appreciation for the people around you that you trust helps you get over that hurdle that is psychotherapy.
Well, Scott, I really appreciate you talking to us today and sharing your story and your experience. Any final thoughts on this?
My final thought is still to this day, it's been 2 years since I've taken MDMA, and I still have an overwhelming sense of gratitude. And I feel so fortunate that I was able to be a part of this study, because without their help, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And I can honestly say that I love who I am today.
Still ahead, did the MDMA cause side effects or bad trips? And were there any big surprises during the study? My interview with the lead researcher, Dr. Jennifer Mitchell, is next. But first, a word from our sponsors. Traditional talk therapy has been helping people for generations too, and that's easy to access with BetterHelp. Here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with more.
Sometimes we need a little assistance figuring out what could be holding us back in life. Well, BetterHelp is a great way to connect with a professional counselor in a secure and private online environment to figure it out, and most importantly, live our best life. And because BetterHelp is all online, you can get a little help on your own time and at your own pace. Everything you share is confidential, and you choose whether you talk with your counselor through text, phone, video, or all of the above. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a counselor they think is a great fit. If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, request a new one. No big deal and no extra charge. It's a convenient and affordable option available for clients worldwide. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. Because you're listening to this show and getting your news in a quick, efficient way, I know that you value your time. We all have things to do between family, work, and just finding time for ourselves. So if you're someone who mails things out a lot, you'll appreciate Stamps.com for making that to-do easier, faster, and cheaper. Yep, mail and ship out letters and packages all from the convenience and comfort of your own home or office. And pay less thanks to discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. It's especially a must-have for any business. And that's why more than 1 million businesses already choose Stamps.com for their mailing and shipping, saving them thousands of hours and tons of money every year. So stop wasting time going to the post office and just go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code Newsworthy, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. You get all that with no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in Newsworthy. That's Stamps.com with the promo code Newsworthy.
Thanks, Erica. Okay, now here's my conversation with Dr. Jennifer Mitchell. You've said through your research you found MDMA can help patients process traumatic memories instead of just masking these PTSD symptoms. So can you explain that a little more?
Sure. I mean, the idea is that oftentimes somebody that has had many, many years of trauma or has been dealing with trauma for many years, they have a number of ways in which they've learned to try to self-medicate. And for some individuals, this is very deleterious, right? It involves perhaps alcohol or substance use. It involves over-medicating to sleep. It involves avoiding certain places where you feel triggered, like crowds, driving, public venues, etc. And so the idea is that that's sort of masking the symptoms of PTSD to sort of go down that path. And instead, what we're trying to do is actually explore the trauma in a way that allows the participant to release it.
In other words, they would no longer be triggered by those certain situations.
Correct, exactly. That they would be able to get to a place that was more reminiscent of where they were at before they experienced the trauma.
Describe what a therapy session would be like.
So in a standard therapy session with MDMA, the participant is administered an oral dose of the compound, and then they sit in a room that looks very much like a living room for 8 hours with a therapist team of at least two therapists, and they typically ingest a bolus of that same compound of MDMA about 90 minutes into an experimental session. And then it's internally guided therapy. It's manualized, but it's not like it's overly structured by the therapist. It's mostly guided by the participant. So the participant decides where they want to go and what they want to talk about during that treatment session. And then following that treatment session, there is typically the next day and in the weeks to come, a series of additional sessions, therapy sessions that are called integrative sessions, in which the participant, in conjunction with the therapy team, discusses what came up for them during that treatment session. We think of the MDMA as an adjunct to the therapeutic process. It doesn't replace the therapeutic process. It does, for example, allow many people to either get there more quickly or perhaps more deeply. Because as you can imagine, when you're revisiting a previous trauma, that's a very emotional situation to be in, right? It's a very uncomfortable situation for many people. It's almost like self-empathy or self-compassion that seems to come up when they are administered the MDMA. Then perhaps they can really take a look at their trauma without those feelings of shame or embarrassment or fear.
In a clinical setting, is it possible to kind of have a so-called bad trip from these drugs or suffer any side effects?
I mean, there were some standard side effects that were noted in the study, and we listed those in the publication. They include things like dry mouth and jaw clenching. These therapeutics are known to induce a number of mild side effects. I think what many people were concerned about is that there'd be true deleterious side effects to these compounds. And so far in this trial, we didn't experience that. We were really quite delighted to see how safe it was and how effective it was in even individuals that had other disorders or other comorbidities that we thought perhaps could impede the efficacy of the drug.
Well, was there anything else that especially surprised you during this study?
I think for me, the most surprising and sort of delightful thing was that often there are these groups of individuals that are considered treatment resistant, that have PTSD, severe PTSD, that are considered treatment resistant for one reason or another. Some of them have childhood trauma, which is particularly intractable. Some of them have a comorbid depression. Some of them have what we call dissociative subtype PTSD. And what was fascinating was that even those individuals responded in this trial, even those individuals responded to the MDMA treatment. That made me feel very optimistic about the potential of this as a therapeutic moving forward.
How does the MDMA research compare with other therapies you've investigated over your career?
That's another really good question, because, I mean, part of this for me is, you know, I've been at this now for many years. And sometimes at the end of the day, you sit down and you look at the data and you think, oh, my goodness, it kind of moved the needle. Like in this subgroup of people under these conditions, it helped a little bit. And that makes you really feel very happy as a researcher, as somebody looking for new therapeutics. But with the MDMA, the effect was so robust, so large, so significant. It was really wonderful to see the potential of this therapeutic compared to so many others that I've looked at in the past, personally.
What more do scientists still need to learn or do before this treatment can go mainstream?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there are many different steps that are above and beyond me in terms of where to go next. And those involve, you know, the DEA and the FDA and pharmaceutical companies. And in this particular instance, the Public Benefit Corporation that sponsored this trial. So from my perspective as a researcher, my hope is that this will perhaps open up the door to future funding so that we can explore a number of these compounds further for a myriad of different conditions, because I think that this is sort of treatment space that is ripe for discovery. We don't have a lot of new therapeutics for drug and alcohol abuse or depression or impulsivity or obsessive compulsive disorder, all the things that we'd previously termed Axis 1 disorders. And so I'm thinking that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
We should point out, there are critics of this type of potential treatment, too. Some mental health experts have cautioned newly studied treatments tend to seem really great at first, but end up overpromising and under-delivering as more people use it. There are also concerns the public might take these results to mean the illegal street drug can solve their problems. So to be clear, these guests were only talking about a trial done in a supervised environment with a drug made by a pharmaceutical company and paired with dozens of hours of traditional therapy. Of course, more research is needed, and we'll keep you updated on any new developments. Be sure to tune into our regular episodes weekdays, where we provide all the day's news in about 10 minutes. We will be off this Monday for Memorial Day, but we'll be back Tuesday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.